Last week, President Bush called for $2 billion to strengthen the nation's border security. The Canadian border in particular has raised concern. Nearly 4,000 miles long, it's protected by only 350 Border Patrol agents. That's compared to the southwestern border, which is about half as long, but with 9,000 agents. 2 years ago, a Justice Department report concluded that serious criminal activity is increasing along the Northern Divide, but the Border Patrol lacks the staff and intelligence resources to counteract it. This week, NPR is examining the impact of the September terrorist attacks on immigration policy. Today, NPR's John Burnett reports that the northern boundary is about to receive long-overdue attention.
Canada is divided from the United States of America for much of its length by a 40-foot-wide swath in the forest. It's easy to see why this is called the longest undefended border in the world.
You just entered into Canada illegally by crossing the ditch there.
Border Patrol agent Jim Powers declines to make an arrest. He and senior agent Joe Mendez have brought out two visitors to show them one of the thousands of remote trails that straddle the 49th parallel.
This used to be a very popular crossing place. It hasn't been used for a while. This trail right here used to be just a walking trail, but recently they've cut it out so they can try to drive through here.
Who's they?
Most likely smugglers.
And what do they smuggle? Usually a potent and high-priced strain of indoor-grown marijuana from British Columbia called BC Bud. Mendez says smugglers also move human contraband.
We have a lot of Indian population, a lot of People's Republic of China coming through. We have a lot of Koreans. We have Hispanics that come in through Canada. They can get a plane ticket up here for $300 or $400. They don't require a visa. And then they just walk across the Canadian border.
That's the scenario that worries U.S. officials. A terrorist can stroll into the United States undetected. Two recent incidents drove home this fear. In 1997, a Palestinian named Abu Mezer was caught three times slipping into the United States from Canada before he was arrested in Brooklyn for plotting to blow up a subway station. And in 1999, an Algerian named Ahmed Rassam was nabbed on a ferry at Port Angeles, Washington, with a trunkload of explosives and a plan to blow up the Los Angeles airport during the Millennium Celebration. Both of those intruders were caught. The problem is, the agents don't know what or who they're missing, says former Assistant Chief Gene Davis. He retired 2 years ago after 26 years with the Border Patrol.
I would be very surprised if we caught 25% probably of what came in. First of all, there was no way we, you know, intelligence-wise, to really know how many were coming in. And secondly, we just, it was so wide open so much of the time, no telling how many came in.
Those wide open spaces, which make the northern border so difficult to guard, are one of its most appealing aspects. The Border Patrol's Blaine sector encompasses 120 picturesque miles of fir and poplar, raspberry and dairy farms in the nation's northwesternmost corner. The city of Blaine is located on the busy route between Seattle and Vancouver. It's an old lumber and cannery town, now given over to tourism and yachting. The official Blaine crossing into British Columbia is dominated by a monument called the Peace Arch, which reads, "Children of a Common Mother."
I mean, to us, it's a symbol of the friendship between us and Canada. We don't see a border.
Pat Christensen is president of the Blaine Chamber of Commerce. She and her husband own a hardware store in the town of 3000, located just across the international line from its counterpart, White Rock, British Columbia.
Other than their money's a different color. That's the only difference we know. And they say A. And Mom. I mean, people could travel between Washington and Canada, Blaine and White Rock. You get in your car, you just drive. The same as going from Washington State into Oregon.
Not anymore. Since the terrorist attacks, every person and every vehicle that enters the United States is individually checked.
Could I see some identification, folks? Where's your ID?
On my belt.
Can't take my belt off without my pants falling down.
All right. Thank you, sir.
An INS inspector questions a bearded, smiling Canadian named Dick Bird. He and his son are driving a Toyota station wagon from their home in Vancouver to Mexico for some surfing and kayaking. After he makes it through the crossing, Bird is asked, what does he think about the beefed up security?
It seems to be about double the time, but I expected it. We thought it might be worse. This is bad, but crossing into the States from Mexico is a lot harder than this. This is a holiday compared to that.
The southern border has always been the country's immigration hotspot. Last year, the Border Patrol rounded up 1.2 million people illegally entering from Mexico. In the same period, 3,000 people were arrested sneaking in from Canada. Understandably, the INS channeled most of its resources to the deserts and scrublands of the Southwest. But this aggravated agents assigned to the north, says Carl Prieta Antonio, an official with the Border Patrol Union assigned to the Blaine sector.
We've always had to beg for vehicles. We've had to beg for electronic equipment. We've had to do a lot of make-do up here. We've been like the forgotten outpost for a long time. And now we're finally getting the attention, the political pressures, management is finally providing resources that we've been begging for years.
Another chronic problem has been intelligence sharing. 2 weeks ago, Democratic Congressman Rick Larson, who represents Northwest Washington, spent 3 hours as an INS inspector at the Blaine Port of Entry. He was shocked at what he learned.
If I'm an INS inspector, I have to check 10 separate databases, log in, log out, log in, log out, to get all the information I want on perhaps the one person who's standing in front of me. Then on top of that, I've got to find a way to access a customs database and access information from the FBI and the CIA and the State Department. And we're asking these people who are on the front line to do a job without the tools that they need.
Since September 11th, the northern border has become a national security priority. Congress has authorized an unprecedented buildup, 70% more Border Patrol agents, 125% more INS inspectors. Half of all the official crossing points on the northern limit used to be unguarded at night. They relied on gates, remote cameras, or orange traffic cones. Now, those ports are staffed 24/7 by armed agents. And the government is putting up infrared cameras to watch the border in darkness and burying more ground sensors to detect illicit crossers. All the additional brawn and the new spy gadgets alarm some border residents, like Greg Bowes, an immigration attorney in nearby Bellingham, Washington.
Instead of us having this Fortress America attitude where we have to put fences up on our borders, instead we need to share information about common concerns, such as terrorism, with our friends in Canada. I'm a person who believes that smarter security is better.
U.S. officials agree that a smarter approach is required on the Canadian border, where intelligence and investigations are more important than tracking and deporting. To that end, Canadian and U.S. investigators routinely share information, a practice that's spotty at best between U.S. and Mexican officials. What's more, Canada recently set aside a record $5 billion for anti-terrorism measures, which includes enhanced border security. As both nations move to fortify their borders, it's important to remember that there's no evidence any of the 19 hijackers illegally crossed a U.S. border. Indeed, most had legal visas. U.S. and Canadian officials recognize the best way to protect their shared border is to begin enforcement before a dangerous immigrant arrives. That means tougher screening of visa applicants at foreign embassies. The Canadian ambassador to the United States, Michael Kurgan.
Terrorists are people who probably are going to ensure that their visas are in good shape because they don't want to be picked up for visa violations. So the issue is the work you do outside of the North American space, in Europe, in Asia, is cooperation between the police services, the intelligence services, and the immigration services to ensure they don't sort of come into our common space.
The most effective border enforcement often occurs far from the border. John Burnett, NPR News, Blaine, Washington.
For more information on our immigration series, check our website at npr.org.